Hello and welcome to Binge or Cringe. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
This is going to be an all Netflix show. Because
considering that it is a streaming giant. And
yeah.
That's not hyperbole. Like, it is the streaming giant.
This is not sleeping. So, we are going to first start on something which you will enjoy. You just haven't gotten to see yet.
Sure, right. Yeah.
And it is John Leguizamo.
Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt.
John Leguizamo's. Is that right? Leguizamo?
That sounds right.
Sure. Latin History for Morons. And
I know this is a weird like thing to draw, but considering I met Prince in the Batman soundtrack, like I feel like it's a valid point. The way that I was introduced to John Leguizamo was the Super
Ice
Mario
Age.
Brothers movie.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Ice
I was,
Age.
I think that came out in 93, I want to say. Like, I was 13. Day of, like, I was baptized in Super Mario Brothers, like, as a kid. And when I say as a kid, I mean to this day. Like, I love everything to do with the Super Mario Brothers. Love the games, the cartoons, all of it.
And I think he references it.
They did a live-action movie, for those of you unaware, in the it's like mid to early 90s. It is not fondly thought of. Google what Bob Hoskins thinks of the movie. Also, John Leguizamo. Apparently, in order to make it through the workday, Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo drank a lot. In an interview like with Bob Hoskins, said, "What's your least favorite project you ever did?" "Oh, Super Mario Brothers." "What are you most ashamed of?" "Super Mario." Like, Bob Hoskins hates that movie, and John Leguizamo is not far behind him. Like, which, like I said, it's a strange way that, because I see his body of work now, but, like, that's how I met that character.
Now, many people who perhaps don't know other things about him is he's Sid the Sloth.
Yeah, I mean, he's not just Luigi, yes, in the Super Mario Brothers movie. Which
I've yet to see, and now I just can't wait.
He's done several films, like he's done
lots
a lot
of
stand-up.
Stuff, yeah.
John, he's a very talented actor, but as a child, that's how I was kind of Queen. I think my first introduction to them was the Flash Gordon soundtrack,
okay,
which again, like,
I know
it, maybe it's not their best work, but that's how I got to know them.
So, I really enjoyed this. Technically, yes, this is an hour of stand-up. I'm really trying to figure out how I can show it to my kids because he gives you so much information, but there's some of it that's just so wildly inappropriate.
Oh, yeah.
That I don't even see a way around it.
He's done a multitude of stand-ups, and I can't think of any of them that I would call family-friendly.
Yeah. So this is how he presents it, and it's very, very valid. And I guess we have to thank the internet for a lot of this. When you're raised not having the internet, just the Encyclopedia Britannica.
Let's call it the 80s. Yeah.
You don't think, I wonder, something else might have been happening while this was happening that they taught me in school. I wonder what that could have been. Or, I wonder this. It's just like, okay, I got to learn it. There's a test. It's done. Let's move on. But there's so much that we were not taught, and I am not saying he's the final source on this, but it would certainly start a conversation, and this is how he presents it. His son is in eighth grade, and his daughter, maybe he's like a year or two older, younger, whatever. He's married a lovely Jewish woman. He's puts it all out there like that, so that's an interesting dynamic right there because he's Latin.
I mean, honest to goodness, if they made a sitcom
I'd watch
starring
it.
John Leguizamo that starred his actual family,
oh yeah,
I'd tune in.
So the problem is his sweet, very lovely son is having a hard time with a bully, so he goes to put the smack down on the guy's dad. And he sends his kids as, you know, if I was in his position as well, if I'm a celebrity in Manhattan, I'm going to probably send my kids to a private school because there's just junk you got to deal with that the normals don't have to deal
with. Honestly, there's junk you have to deal with in the public school. without your parent being like
super
a celebrity.
Famous. Yeah. So he says this is, you know, this is what he's dealing with. So for the whole year, his son was supposed to give a project, which he eventually did. And this is probably, I'm not going to think that this was made up. This was probably what inspired him. His son had to write something about a hero. That's all. And so he was listing all these heroes, and his father said, well, what about Latin heroes? Because you're part Latin. And he's like, I don't have any. I don't got any. And so he started doing his own research. He said it became his research project. You know, forget about what his son has to do. He wants to know why these things aren't in books. So he tells the whole thing.
You really did peg it correct. Like, I already want to watch this thing.
Yeah.
Leguizamo, like, find his old stand-ups. Like, honestly, I don't think there's a bad one amongst it.
So he's telling stories. He's telling history. He's showing you the books that he read. And again, I tend to think this probably actually happened to him, and then he adds in the jokes and stuff. But he's saying there's so much of the Latin culture that we just don't know because, you know, the Spaniards, the subjugation, the this and the that, and like a gajillion of them were killed.
Yeah.
And so he said, you know, we had our, you know, Mayan, Aztec, all this stuff, and I'm not an expert on it, so I know I'm not mentioning near enough, but they had this tremendous body of work and art and culture that
and
was
history
destroyed.
Yeah.
So
that's, yes, that is absolutely
that's
what happened. Yeah,
it was destroyed. But hey, they got chickenpox.
Like
you know?
In the same way that the Nazis were basically
yes.
just trying to eradicate Jewish culture, like any of that from the face of the earth. That's basically what happened to a lot of like
Caribbean
Latin
types and all of this. And I don't mean to say Caribbean types in a disrespectful way, but you know, just
That area of the globe.
Yeah. And talking about, oh, I forgot which king of Spain or whatever. But again, what happened to the people? So he starts and he explains, say, here, we had this many people here doing this, this, and this, and this. And he was talking about one people in particular about how they were just the most gentle people. So here, come on, learn our stuff. And you're all slaughtered.
And I haven't had a terribly difficult life because I am a white landowning male. To see what some of them have done with that privilege,
it's sickening.
It kind of disgusts me. Like, I don't want them to associate me with, they'll just be like, oh, so you're a white landowning male. I'll just be like, well, but yeah, but I'm not one of those. Like, they're like, what do you mean one of those? And I'm like, oh dear, what have I done?
I know. Sometimes, it's hard.
You look at that, and I'm like, would I have done that if I had been giving, like,
I
more privilege?
Not.
Like, ah.
Yeah, I mean, I think back to a time when I would simply watch old B-Westerns and go, huh, you know, Wild West, Indians, like, pow, pow, pow. You know, it was a movie. It was nothing to me.
I've wanted to punch people in the face or maybe get a good zinger, like, in on them if they made me mad. But I've never just been like, I want their family dead.
I know.
I want their entire race eradicated, and I want it to start. Never has my mind went there. Like, I don't even know how you get there.
I don't know. But the point is, the Mayans and Aztecs and all of the great art, all made of gold, was melted.
Yeah.
Now, of course, some of it exists, but there was a whole lot of it.
Like,
it's just melted.
Consider about that we probably have absolutely no record of, like, just cities and bukus and.
It would be like if we went, we're some superior alien race. It's like, oh, these are the crown jewels and this is the Hope Diamond. I need this for my dilithium converter. And goodbye. And
yeah.
it's just gone. And then 1,000 years later, someone goes, oh, well, these people, we think they did something.
Like the Grecian libraries.
Yeah.
That, like,
don't get me started on the burning of the library.
Okay, like the Odyssey and the Iliad are part of apparently like a 13 or 14 volume series. Like,
could you imagine what Harry Hamlin could have done
if
it had survived?
Oh, like it just, it, it,
I know. Okay.
I'm just saying, I want to hear the other parts of the Iliad and the Odyssey,
too.
To say nothing of all that knowledge and, like, science and every and culture that we just that has been lost to antiquity.
So, John Leguizamo's Latin History for Morons, for some people, may be very eye-opening. He does a beautiful job of making it entertaining, keeping the story with his family and how the year progressed. He brings in dancing. He was doing so much stuff and slight costume changes. You know, he was saying, like, you know, when so-and-so met Christopher Columbus, this is what they were wearing. So everything's off and he's in, you know, tighty-whities. He says, basically, Columbus is greeted with a bunch of people looking like this. Oh, hey,
yep.
Here, have some food. Now we kill you all. So then he's got all these quick changes.
And Leguizamo moves briskly.
Yes.
Like, there's not a lull or a downtime.
No.
Like, you're not going to get bored.
And he's 50-ish.
That should be about
and
right.
And it was like, wow, I'm breathing heavy for him because there's a lot of movement going on.
And like, I guarantee you playing to a sold-out crowd, like,
oh, yeah.
That'll make you move.
Yeah, that's for sure. So this was not only funny, and this really, it is kind of a dark humor because it already happened. There's nothing we can do about it now.
As an adult, like, I've found that, like, I go dark a lot.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't do it publicly. Maybe I don't record it when I do it. But, like, in those places and parts that, like, we don't talk about, like, I think adults go to dark places comedically. Maybe maybe they don't share it with everybody, but I think it's why when you do hear one that is sharing it in a very public forum, it's all the more, like, delicious.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
just like, oh, he's saying it.
Yeah. I am going to go back and write down what the few books that he held up that he read that kind of got him on this journey. And so he has all of the Latin history. He has then the story of his family and what his kid was going through. And some of that is just dead on. He wraps it all up as he began with his son. And it's like, it was funny. It was thought-provoking. It was entertaining.
And to a certain degree, educational.
It was educational. Yeah. And it was heartwarming. That was awesome, you know? So, unfortunately, you can't show it to your kids because it's...
Not until they're there. But you can enjoy it yourself.
And you can pick up some of this stuff and say, hey, did you know this? Because some of it I just didn't know.
Well, I mean, again, the victors are the ones that write the history books. And, I mean, as you point out, like, name me five Latin heroes.
Yeah, I can't.
Yeah.
And his kid couldn't either.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and for me, ancestrally, a lot of me is Irish. And so to put things in perspective for my children, when we see movies or just the world around us now, I will say the jobs that these migrants who are...
recognized minorities.
Yes. I said, that's what
the Irish,
your ancestors were doing. And,
the Irish,
they were so horribly mistreated.
During the mid to early 1900s.
Oh, man.
Oh, like, I mean... Your inappropriate jokes, your, like,
the non-PC,
it was all Irish jokes.
And I often feel when I bring that up, people are like, going, ah, ha, ha. It's like, no, for real. You know, Irish have to enter around back. I am not in any way saying that we went through what African Americans have gone through, yet the Irish were at a time marginalized and a minority.
They were viewed as lower class citizens.
And not worth it. You know, the Catholics, we were called breeders. And it was just, you know, and right now it seems to be a lot of people from Central America. They are showing up more as this because they want a better life and they will come in and do the jobs that no one wants to do. The Irish had to go through that as well. So for me, I know a lot of that because it's my history.
I think it's applicable.
Yeah. And so I'm also interested in his history, although to my knowledge, I have no Latin ancestry except, you know, way back to Pangaea history.
Yeah.
But other than that, it was really fascinating, and I enjoyed it. So watch that On a much lighter note, I have discovered a show, and I want to make sure I say the name right. It is called The Great British Baking Show. Okay? Now, I don't know who these people are, who are the bakers, you know how on that kind of show, you've got the experts. The one guy who is kind of the host and the narrator, I recognize from the IT Crowd, and he played the goth character whose name escapes me. And so it's just funny for me to see, oh, IT Crowd guy, and he's amiable, he's funny, he's not Britain's Paul Rudd. He's, I'll get back to that.
All right.
Anyway, what they're doing is, I don't know how these people qualified, I don't care, but they all have to make stuff, and I was enthralled, because they all had to make biscuits, and about 10 minutes into it, I'm thinking, oh, that's right, they're making cookies!
Not
what I thought.
Southern
yeah,
biscuits,
I thought they were talking biscuits, and I went, there's a biscuit for each county? He's like, what? There's a cookie. And then I was all in.
Would you like a biscuit?
I'd like it if it's a cookie.
And, well, I like it if it's a biscuit, too.
Yeah, I would like that, too. And it's entertaining because I think it's maybe it's an hour or less than an hour. And it's not as drama-ridden as American shows of that ilk,
You almost, like, generate, like, some conflict.
There's none of that. It's, I don't know, maybe 20 people, and they're all from the British Isles, and they all have to make this stuff. And it's fun, and all of those people are getting along, and it's just, it's entertaining. And yeah, guy, if you're working outside in the summer, your chocolate is not going to set up. Your chocolate is just going to keep drip, drip, dripping, and yeah, that happens. I don't really know why I find it so entertaining, other than it's like, wow, my cookies will never look like that, nor shall my biscuits. But there's something cozy about it, without being dull. Now, granted, I like to cook, and I also like to eat.
It probably doesn't hurt your interest in it.
There's that, but I'm not writing anything down, going, oh, I got to try this.
Yeah, making me biscuits. Yeah.
No, I'm not doing any of that. It's just, you know how, what's his face with the yelling and the, that guy, the British guy.
Ramsay.
Yeah. There's not any of that going on.
Which, I mean, it works for that show. Like,
yeah.
And I mean,
it does.
I think a lot of that, you know, is a persona he's created.
Mm-hmm. And there's not the dun-dun-dun. It's just mildly entertaining, and what they churn out are works of art. And I appreciate that these, you know, regular people have taken the time to work on that hobby, and I think that's pretty cool. And so I just like it in and of itself. It doesn't cause me stress that someone's going to get yelled at or any of that. It's just like, oh, that's interesting. Gee, that looks horrible. I would never eat that. And that's really all it takes for me. It's one of those very, I don't have to participate too much to enjoy this. The Great British Baking Show. And it is current, because they just put up season 6.
And is it great?
I would say it verges on the great. I would say it's the near great.
I'd say it's harder to sell the adequate British Bake Off.
I would say it's the pleasant British baking show.
All right. Okay.
It's pleasant.
I'll grant that.
So, and because it's baking, it's there's not a lot of, what are we going to do with steak and stuff. It's all the goodies. It's all the goodies.
The rising, the yeasts and the flours.
And the sugars and this and that. And, wow, what they did to make 24 cookies look exactly alike. It's like, I'm not doing that.
That seems like a really large commitment.
Yes, it does. I guess if you're going to sell them, but I guess I'm not that committed to my artistry.
No, I mean, like if my sandwich doesn't look photogenic.
I don't care.
I don't care. I'm about to eat it. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm fine with that.
So I did enjoy it, and it was new to me, and that is, and you can watch it with whomever. And you don't have to stop in the middle and go, I wonder what'll happen. It's like, oh, they're going to make something else. The end.
So it's relatively age appropriate for whomever.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Now, the big question. Is this season 5 or 6?
I believe it is season 6.
Okay.
If I'm remembering correctly.
House of Cards, which was based on a British show called, wait for it, House of Cards. Which, by the way, I did watch some of the British one. And the first few episodes of the British show were some of the same dialogue in the American version with the wildly talented Kevin Spacey, who apparently is a creep.
Yeah.
I much prefer to read about people who do awful things who I have no knowledge of at all. And so I can go, oh, what a vile and disgusting person, and just like file that away.
And just push it to the...
But after years of enjoying his work, it's like, oh, man.
Like it really is like disappointing to see that kind of talent, I mean, essentially wasted.
Yeah.
Like I don't think I'm overstating it. Like, Kevin Spacey is never going to work like he did again.
Yeah, he won't.
I mean, he was working at the Vic. Like, he had several like Oscar nominated roles. Like,
yeah.
He had played Lex Luthor in Bryan Singer's Superman. Like,
and Adam and I are on the same page.
Exceptional Usual Suspects. Like,
we can separate the art from the artist. I understand some people can't. The horribleness that he did doesn't take away his performance in these other movies. It just kind of adds now for me a touch of, oh.
It just, yeah. Well, okay, like, I think you and I have talked about it. The Cosby Show is still a good show. The actor that had the lead role in it is deplorable.
Yes.
And it colors, like, being able to enjoy that show a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't take away from the fact that, like, it was a ratings powerhouse.
Yeah.
Like, and it's a good show. Like,
yeah. So enough said there. But what happened with House of Cards was they're rolling along, and I think I didn't finish the last season for whatever reason. For me, the first season of House of Cards was the most electric.
I would actually grant, I think, the first and second.
Yeah.
Like,
by the time they got into the presidency, it was like...
Well, it's like, here was my problem with after they got into the presidency. First two seasons, like, Frank Underwood, like, everything he does comes off just 117%. Like, that guy is surgical in his precision.
And for those who don't recall, the first scene... In the first episode of House of Cards, he's killing a dog. Now, he's not just up, oh, there's a dog, I'm going to kill it. The dog had been initially hit by a car, but the point is, he said, I did what had to be done because I don't want this animal to suffer. Granted, I don't want my animals to suffer either, but I don't think I could just choke them.
Well, I think they wanted to establish the type of individual Frank Underwood was.
And obviously that has stayed with me. I didn't rewatch the series. That was like very powerful on setting up. He's going to do anything he can to get what he wants. Really a brilliant
show. Because
he will
justify whatever means it is for the ends.
Because in his mind, he's going to do not just what's best for him and his. He's doing what's best for the country because he truly... believes that, but he does have to come out the winner. He has to, because he believes he deserves that.
Yeah.
And that's, wow.
He does not believe he is an evil person.
No. And that's what makes it interesting. And his...
I mean, I really want to say the first show I remember popularizing the... giving the villain, like, basically his time in the spotlight was Sopranos. Like, Tony Soprano... was a deplorable individual. Just did thing after thing after thing that was terrible. He was an awful, terrible man that benefited from all of this pain and hurt that he would inflict on other people. But The Sopranos was mesmerizing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these evil characters that, like, will just do whatever. And it's not even about their redemption. It's about how evil they are. Mm-hmm. Breaking Bad. Same thing, like, you have Walter White's, like, just constantly, like, it's his just slipping deeper and deeper into this dark, dark chasm of...
Yeah.
And, like, again, it's not about his redemption. It's about, like, him going to a place he can't come back from.
Because at the beginning in Breaking Bad, I was kind of like all on board. It's like, oh, he only has a few months to live. He needs to take care of his family. Well, he's going to do what he can do to make sure they have money.
He'd get to a line, and then he'd be like, well, I can take one more step. I can take one more step. And then eventually, he's 45 steps away from where he came, and like...
I just couldn't. I'm sure some people can and have. Anyway, so now, the point is, Kevin Spacey is no longer associated with the show, but the show was so huge and so well done.
The show essentially put Netflix on the map with its original programming. Like, when it came out of the gate, like, it was taking Emmy nominations. I want to say he won the Emmy for the show itself. Like, it has been a highly decorated show.
I'm going to go this far and say, what House of Cards did for all the streaming services is similar to what The Matrix did for the DVD.
Okay. I'll give you that.
That's it brought it into everyone's mind. It made it a thing. I think Netflix could have just kind of rolled along doing what it was doing without becoming what it has become. This show did that.
Well, you want out of the gate, like if you don't make... Tom Cruise's The Mummy movie. That was supposed to establish the dark universe for Universal.
I still haven't seen it.
I'm just saying, like, underperforms at the box office, underperforms worldwide. Universal basically cancels all the... Like, it was supposed to be their Marvel universe.
Oh.
Like, that was the movie...
I didn't pick up on that.
That was the movie that was supposed to launch it. There was going to be a Bride of Frankenstein movie.
Oh, no, I want to see that.
Javier Bardem was going to be... Frankenstein. Russell Crowe was going to be
the monster.
No, he was going to be Jekyll and Hyde.
Oh,
Angelina Jolie was going to be the bride of Frankenstein.
I want to see that.
I'm just saying, like, they had a lot of movies that sound fascinating, but all of them. The only one that is tentatively still possible is Bill Condon, who did Chicago. He's done a ton of stuff. Anyways, Bill Condon was going to direct Angelina Jolie in Bride of Frankenstein. It's on hold right now. I don't think it's been officially canceled, but more or less all the rest of them.
When's the last movie she made?
I honestly don't remember. I think she's been directing a lot.
Oh, okay.
And she does have
like a million kids, like you.
32 children.
Much like you.
Yeah, yeah.
Except
she has a vast fortune
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, Adam's up there with the big names. Mia Farrow, Angelina Jolie.
I get compared to Brad Pitt a lot.
Adam Cravens, right there. So, I really need to have those other movies happen. Anyway.
But anyway, I'm saying if Netflix would have faltered with House of Cards out of the gate, that would have put a serious just hex on their plans. Like, you have the original Iron Man movie, which is Marvel's foray into filmmaking. Marvel Studios. Iron Man is just gangbusters. Just boom, $300 million in the U. Like, it just hits.
Take my money.
Yeah, that's Iron Man. Like, if The Incredible Hulk had have been the only movie out of the gate, we may not be looking at a $2 billion Infinity War.
We would not have, because I need to mention it, Thor Ragnarok.
True story. I'm just saying, like, you need that one out of the gate to catch.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't, like... Why am I showing up for your follow-up?
Yeah, because it's boring.
And
so
House of Cards
did that.
Just boom.
So this is your perspective. You got this huge thing, wildly talented Kevin Spacey, turns out to be a horrible person.
And it's...
They don't want to stop it.
Spacey is not a small part of that program either. He is the main character.
So...
Dare I say
that Netflix itself was on a House of Cards?
Hmm. Well, they have established themselves.
Yeah. Okay. It'd
make a great headline.
Wouldn't it?
If we ran a newspaper.
As it ended, he was the president. Let me think. Somebody's mother died. Hers? Her mother died. Like, I remember they were at a house. I don't know. And he was going to set her up to be vice president, or did she become vice president?
The last thing that you saw previous season, they had wanted to start impeachment hearings for Frank Underwood.
I don't know why.
He was doing some stuff.
But he did stuff the whole time.
But, like, they had proof that he was doing stuff.
Oh, okay. So, and she, but she's vice president.
But she's vice president. More or less, like, he resigns from it. She is going to pardon him from all of this. Like,
okay.
I mean, in addition to being the vice president, now president, that's also his wife.
Mm-hmm.
So he is no longer the president at the end of... Like, he still gets the title,
yeah.
Mr. President, but he is not the sitting president anymore.
Okay, so that's
his
how
wife,
it ended.
Claire is. Well, the thing is, like, the last thing you see, because he was waiting for the call that he's been pardoned, and he's looking at the White House, because he's in a hotel or something like that. And the last thing you see before it cuts to credits last season is Claire turns, looks at the camera, and much the way that he has talked to us the entire time, she looks and goes, "It's my turn."
Yeah.
So, yeah, you didn't know what that was leading to.
Yeah. Well,
and now
it's leading to. So they, I assume they start saying that he's died.
Yes, but you don't know the circumstances.
Did she do it?
Underwent, like, you don't know if she fondly remembers him. Like,
mm-hmm.
You don't know if Frank had started being difficult and you don't know. Like,
so is this like the next day? Is it 6 months into it? Where does it pick up?
It's several months after because they're talking. Frank has passed, like, at this point. And it's been enough of a time where people are, it's not a headline. Like, they're not just like, Madam President, can we get a statement about that? It's not, she has been the sitting president for, not a huge chunk of time, but,
mm-hmm.
like, to the point that they're not just bombarding her with questions about the recently passed president who she was also married to.
Okay. And as I recall, he got to be president because he was the vice president of someone who also passed. So he was not an elected president?
He didn't pass. Basically, he got him to step down after he had...
Okay,
Frank moved all kinds of... Like, it was a big chess game. Like,
so,
that's what made the show so fascinating. Like, he was initially like a senator or something,
mm-hmm.
and not even like
no,
a powerful
senator. No, he was the Speaker of the House.
Something, yeah, and like he just maneuvers his way. Well, I don't think he's even Speaker of the House initially. Like,
no,
he maneuvers.
Whip.
He just keeps
he's
climbing.
Something.
He just keeps climbing and climbing until he gets.
So now Princess Buttercup is the president.
I feel like Robin Wright has probably earned the right to just be called Robin Wright, no longer Robin Wright Penn.
But imagine if Princess Buttercup were the president.
She would probably not be the kind of president
that we need.
Claire
okay.
Underwood
no.
seems to be.
No. But still, just so you know, Princess Buttercup is president. Okay.
She was also Jenny.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, and she was, you know...
Jenny Curran definitely didn't need to be president.
And she was what's-her-face in Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
She was really awesome in that. Anyway, so what you've seen of it, because you haven't seen the whole season, right?
No. Like,
Is she being a female version of her husband now? Is she talking to the camera? Is she just as evil?
She is talking to the camera. She is not... And maybe she's lying to us because she lets you know very early on. She goes, everything Frank ever told you
was
a
lie. I just assumed it said that.
Like, yeah, that is. I mean, she just straight up when she's doing that.
Okay.
Like, I think the gist of this season is going to be like finding out the particulars about Frank's death.
Mm.
Or maybe he's not dead.
So,
like, I don't.
Well, he is. Anyway, so...
Well, you won't see him, but I'm saying, like, maybe he's in, you know, like...
Oh, yeah.
Like a non-extradition, like, I don't know.
So if you were writing this, how would you write it? Would you write it that she killed him? Would you write it, you know, maybe he just had a heart attack? Or how would you write it?
Well, if you were wanting her to be female Frank, I think we had several seasons of Frank, like, into great effect. I think you're going to... get too much comparison if you are just trying to redo that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you don't go in another direction with it, you're just almost ensuring that you're going to get negative. Because, again, like, House of Cards was not an unsuccessful show.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Spacey is not an untalented actor. However talented Robin Wright is, I don't think she necessarily has the gravitas that he did.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying, like, there is a definitive vacuum in the show not having Kevin Spacey there. Because, I mean, he was in every other scene, right, if not every scene.
And he was so compelling to watch.
Yeah. Even when he was doing these terrible things on screen.
Yes.
On screen is what I'm talking about.
On screen. And but off. But still. So, how many episodes have you watched? Just the first one?
I'm just okay. The one in. There's an assassination attempt on her because, like, apparently some, like, yokels are sad. They're not happy that there's a woman president.
Mm-hmm.
Woman,
yeah, whatever.
Woman don't need to be president.
So,
I ain't taking no lip from no woman.
Being familiar with the whole shebang, do you still want to watch it? I know when I first,
yes,
started watching it, it's like, I got to see it. I what horrible thing is he doing next? So do you still have that feeling?
Well, I want to know what, like, I need some closure on Frank.
Yeah.
I think correctly, they're pulling the taffy on that one. Like, they didn't just let you know out of the gate, first scene, what happened to Frank. Like, we don't know. We don't know if Claire did it. We don't know if somebody else did it. I don't know if he got sick. And there is also some individuals that seriously want to take her life.
I mean, I would like to think someone else did it just because of all the horrible things he did.
But on the flip side of it, like, seeing that Claire can kind of portray this much less sinister individual than her husband and be doing it so well that we believed she was not,
mm-hmm,
this sinister, like, that would be a nice close to it. Like, showing that possibly his wife when she was pulling the strings and we believed she was the better of the two.
Right.
Showing that she was the mastermind, like, the entire time. She was manipulating Frank to do all these things.
Wow.
I'm saying, like,
you could go either way.
That's if I was writing it, that's where I would like to see it go. Like, because it's all about those first several seasons were all about Frank pulling strings and making people come to those conclusions themselves. How fascinating would it be if the person that we thought was pulling the strings the entire time was just another marionette that was being manipulated, mm-hmm, by his wife?
Mm, interesting. Well, I do plan to watch it. I have a lot of things I need to watch.
And I don't think it's the... I want to say most of the other seasons have been like 10 or 11. I want to say this one's shorter.
Okay. I mean, like 8.
Something like that.
Okay. All right. So, 3 binge-worthy shows, but I think the most binge-worthy one is going to be House of Cards.
And I understand if you're so appalled at Spacey as a person, you can't. If you can separate the two of those, because, again, as an individual, Spacey has definitely put himself in, just mired himself in something he will never come out of. The first several seasons of House of Cards are exceptional.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's good television.
Yeah, it is.
Like, it's good Emmy, like, very just, it's captivating. But I think it's also harder, because he is a deplorable person in that show. It may be even more difficult to watch it when you realize that, like, maybe he wasn't playing.
Well, I think actually it might be easier, because you hate Frank Underwood.
You really do. Like, he doesn't... at no point are you ever just like, he's coming around.
Yeah.
Frank's coming around.
You just hate him.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you could express your feelings about Kevin Spacey internally by just like, I hate him and him.
I just hate him. I liked calling it the evil West Wing. Like, if you've,
yes,
ever, West Wing, another show that out of the gate, like, just took the Emmys by storm. Starred Martin Sheen as the president. Aaron Sorkin wrote the show. Just the first 3-4 seasons are electric. It is one of my favorite shows, like top 5 favorite shows. That show is all about accomplishing good and believing in the best in people and making your government work for you. Like, it is about the fact that there are people out there that are exceptional. House of Cards is the opposite. Like, if you watch The West Wing and you're like, right. You know, philanthropy's good and all, but, like, I need some seedy underbelly. Like, give me some wretched hive and villainy. You got that? And they're like, House of Cards is what you desire.
Yes. When Underwood followed that girl to the metro station.
Yep.
And pushes her in front of a train in the blind spot, I was like, oh, my God.
Like, all of the deplorable things you had seen him do the previous season.
It was
like you thought you understood this guy.
Oh, no.
And then you get to this and you're like, how did I underestimate you? I thought you were like scum sucking, like pond, like gunk. Like, but I was wrong. You're worse. I don't even know what's below you.
I don't know.
And every season, he just digs deeper and deeper.
So I am intrigued to see how this next season goes, and I have not read reviews yet of it, so I had my own thing going on.
Sure, yeah.
But I just don't know what the reviews are. Yeah. But I am very intrigued to see it, and if she holds up as that character.
Robin Wright is a very talented
actress. She is.
Yeah.
So I would like it to keep going, just because having a woman in that role is different.
It's very different. Yeah.
And again, as a landowning white male, we see a lot of those. We don't see a lot of female presidents or ever. And sure, she's white, but still, she's a
baby
female
steps.
President.
Baby steps.
Okay, so it's something that's different. Now, I'm not going to show it to my kids and say, you could grow up to be that. But still, you know what I'm saying. So it always was a good show, and at least for the crew's sake anyway, I hope it gets to continue because,
I think they've said this is it.
Oh, okay.
This was the last. Okay. I think they wanted to wrap it. For the people that had followed the show for the past, I want to say it started in 2012.
Okay.
I think they wanted to
give some closure.
Yeah. And like the crew didn't do anything.
I know.
Like the producer, like this isn't his fault. Like the actors, it's not their fault. I think they wanted to make sure they got to wrap it all up for the people that had followed it. And they wanted to make sure that they understood just because somebody else does something awful doesn't mean you need to be punished for it.
And somewhere on in some country, somebody is saying, I'm going to book a reality show. I'm going to bring in Roman Polanski to direct. I'm going to bring in Spacey and Cosby. Roseanne's going to visit a little just to piss people off.
She's the next door neighbor.
Yeah, she's the next door neighbor because she didn't do any of that stuff. But she's just a little, you know.
But she lived in the neighborhood.
Yeah. So I was like, list.
She's the Gladys Kravitz of that.
List
Abner.
Everyone.
Abner.
List them all. It's like, and then they want to vote each other off and do stuff.
Man, that would be a Big Brother. Like to watch.
Wouldn't
right
that?
There. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Or I mean, if you want to get another season of The Apprentice, get Trump to come back and host it. Like that's a show right there.
Or all of those who will end up in prison, put them all in the same one with one or two colorful non-entertainment people. I'll just watch that live stream.
Like, I think the purge happens is what.
Oh, okay.
That's what happens then.
All right. Anyway, so we do love to be entertained. That is your Binge or Cringe. Thank you for staying with us. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.